In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In those days, a foreign ruler reigned over God's people. They oppressed the people of Israel, forcing them to go where they did not want to go and do what they did not want to do. He was king. He was God. The kings and the governors did not want to submit to God, but they viewed themselves as God. They were in charge, they gave the orders, they made the decisions as to who would do what. And what he commanded was that every firstborn male Israelite was to be thrown into the Nile. Pharaoh was king, Pharaoh was God. And so the people of Israel cried out to God for help. They longed for a Messiah. They wanted to be set free from their bondage to this foreign ruler. God gave them signs, 10 signs. And yet Pharaoh and his rulers gathered together against the Lord and ignored these signs. And so the sin of the first man repeats itself again and again. Men want to be like God. They don't insist on the title, but they want to be in control of their lives, do whatever they desire, make God their own little personal genie whom they will call upon when they have a problem, but for the rest of the year they just simply ignore. They want to bend God to their will. They use one another, even for their own personal gain. And yes, they still throw those babies into the proverbial Nile by ripping them out of their mother's womb. God gives signs. And yet these kings, these personal kings, gather together against the Lord and ignore these signs. They are king. They are God. They are in control of their own lives, and someone who lived 2,000 years ago is not going to tell them how to be happy. Do not exempt yourself from this first sin. You have desire to be like God also. You do not crave the title, but the sin of Adam swirls around your heart as well. You may have been Christian your whole life, but every condescending word, every arrogant thought, every greedy thought places you and your desires above God. Unlike Cain, the firstborn, your hands may be free from murder, but your hearts and your lips and your minds are not, for you have expressed hatred toward people at times. Sin is crouching at your door, watching and waiting. You were in bondage to sin. Slaves to Satan, worse, far worse than being slaves to Satan, you were slaves to yourselves. You desired to do whatever you thought was good and right, not caring once to submit to anyone who calls themselves God or king. Even now, do you use the church only when you want something from her? A marriage, a funeral, a baptism? Or do you heed her call to repentance and faith? Do you come begging God to give you the forgiveness of sins? Or do you come simply because it's a nice thing to do? Have we ignored those calls to repentance and faith and gathered together with people who thought the way that we think so that we can live however we desire? Have we gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed Christ? We do want to be our own God. We do want to be king. We will not submit to anyone. You see that in our country. We don't insist on the titles, but we want to be in control of our own life. And so in the darkness of night, while foreign rulers ate, drank, and slept, God sent the angel of death. Every firstborn of Egypt, whether man or animal, died. It didn't matter if that firstborn male was Pharaoh's or a slave's, a donkey's or a sheep's. They all lay dead. The firstborn of Israel, however, were saved by the blood of a lamb. In the cover of night, in a land not their own, God had come to set his people free. But now those firstborn males belonged to the Lord. They were his holy possession. Every firstborn male who opened the womb of his mother was his. And so the firstborn boys had to be bought back with the blood of a lamb. The firstborn of animals were to be sacrificed to the Lord on the altar. Those firstborn boys were bought back with the blood of a lamb. It was an exchange, a substitute. And by that blood, they were now set free. And then they ate that flesh. In a holy meal at the temple, they ate the flesh of the lamb that set them free as a reminder that God had delivered them and spared them from death. They were his holy people. And so in the darkness of night, while foreign rulers ate, drank, and slept, God sent his one and only Son. He is the firstborn of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He always was. There was never a time when he did not exist. He simply is. He was not created or made. He simply is. And what he is holy. He is holy, the Holy One, equal to the Father in majesty, glory, honor, and praise. And now today, on the firstborn of God becomes the firstborn of the Blessed Virgin. The Holy One opened up the Virgin's womb, and he was born from her in the same way that you were born from your mother. The heavens could not contain him, yet Mary's arms now hold him. He feeds the very birds of the air, and yet he yearns for his mother's milk. The rulers reside in their palaces and give their orders, while this king resides in a manger, ready to give his life as a ransom for many. He is the firstborn of God, the Holy One, perfect, free from sin. When God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." They worship the firstborn of God. They worship the firstborn of Mary, because they are one and the same person, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They fly to those fields in Bethlehem with eager joy to declare the praises of God. God is man. God is man to save man. One angel is not enough. Two is too few. Thousands upon thousands is barely sufficient, yet they stream out of heaven, a great company of the heavenly hosts, praising God in a loud voice for the great salvation he has won for mankind. There's a sign, a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. In faith, those shepherds run to Bethlehem to worship their God and their King, while the rulers gather together in their palaces to fight against this infant. To them, the victory will seem easy, for after all, he is only an infant. What harm can an infant do? Yet these shepherds bend their knee before this infant. He is their King. He is their God. He is the Holy One. He is Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am. The firstborn of animals was to be sacrificed back to the Lord. The firstborn of men was to be redeemed with the blood of a lamb. God has become man. And yet he is born in a stable because he has come to do the work of that lamb. He's a substitute, an exchange. Christmas is only as joyful as Good Friday. To stop here and to celebrate only this day is to celebrate a historical fact. But to continue on to Good Friday and Easter is to celebrate your very redemption won by this Christ child. He has redeemed you back with his blood. He has redeemed you from the empty way of life which had burdened you and set you free not only from sin and Satan, but has set you free from your own perverse will. His blood was splashed on the altar of the cross to win your salvation. And now his flesh is given to you in a holy meal where you eat and you drink the very price of your salvation. It's a sign. Christ's body and blood present for you on that altar is a sign. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. Heaven awaits you. He is the firstborn of God. He is the firstborn of the Blessed Virgin, and he is the firstborn of the dead, opening up the baptismal womb of the church so all who are washed might be called sons and daughters of God. There in that baptismal font, you are born again by water and the Holy Spirit. You are holy to the Lord, for you have followed the Holy One, your brother, Jesus Christ. You are holy to the Lord, God's precious possession. He has redeemed you with his very own blood and will never let you go. He is your King. He is your God. He is in complete control of your life. He is the firstborn of the dead so that you might not be left in your earthen grave. But as a child rests in the womb of his mother for only a short time, so also you will rest in your grave for only a short time. And then you will spring forth alive with the flesh of a newborn, perfect in every way. And as mothers count all the toes on their newborn children and hold them with more tender love and embrace, so also your heavenly Father will count all your toes and fingers on that last and glorious day and welcome you into his eternal kingdom forever and ever. Pharaoh, Caesar, and our own sinful flesh can take their stand against this holy infant all they want. It's a futile effort. The Lord laughs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. This king is your redeemer. He is your God. He is your brother. He has spilled his blood on the altar of the cross to win your salvation. He sheds his blood for you to open up heaven. You are born again as a child of God. And now you eat his flesh, the very price of your salvation, in a holy meal to keep you holy until the day when he comes to call you home. And so, like Mary, how can we not walk away from this night pondering all these things that have happened? God is man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. So mortal men who live and die might live forever up on high. A blessed Christmas to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.